It's a very low barrier to get into the Gronk Squad.
That's crazy.
We've committed to do the Daily Talk Show for 10 years.
So hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Put it in the calendar.
Oh, that one in.
I'd just like to check the temperature in the room.
I told you my squeegee story.
It is outrageous.
Come on, let's go.
It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 1001.
And we're back. We're back. A new era.
Mm-hmm.
A new thousand.
If you're watching on YouTube, you'll notice nothing's changed.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed, but everything has changed.
Yeah, I'm just drinking some broth right now.
So shit has changed.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy that's pushed back on soup, his whole life, his mum's watching this right now thinking, oh, why the fuck now?
Did you remember a good Lynn Jansen impersonation? Yeah,
love you, Lynn. Love you, Lynn.
Why are you drinking? So before Jess said, whose coffee's in the fridge? And you said that was yours. Did you reheat that or something?
I just reheated a coffee. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you. This morning, Amy dropped me to work.
Mm-hmm.
But first, we went to her office. She had to pick up her laptop because she's home with Bodhi for the next 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so her boss said, I'll get you guys some coffees.
Oh, that's nice.
Because of what happened.
Okay.
Now I'll tell you what happened.
Okay. So
Saturday night, we went out. Fucking fired up.
Oh, you're going to tell me what's happened? I thought you were talking about the big thing that happened on the week, which is to come. But this is something related to Bodhi.
This is from Saturday.
Oh, my God.
We went out.
What a week you've had.
I know, dude. Get ready for it. Saturday, we went to Music from the Homefront. Great concert. Mm-hmm. MTV, Visit Vic collab that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Great concert.
Yeah, it was created by Michael Gudinski from Mushroom Group. He created it last year during all of the COVID stuff, and it's continued on. He sadly passed away in February, I think it was.
Yeah.
And it was at Sydney Meyer Music Bowl.
It's great. Awesome. I mean, the strings pulled, the artist that came, it was like 3 songs each. Mm-hmm. I kind of liked it. It's different. You go see a whole concert and it's just one artist pumping out 60 minutes of songs usually, whereas this was, you know, 6 or 7 live artists doing 3 songs each, which
Lisa Nesso, Amy Shark.
Karaoke. It was a jukebox.
Mm-hmm.
Jukebox of-
It wasn't karaoke.
No, it wasn't karaoke. I was thinking of a jukebox, not a karaoke box.
It's like a playlist.
It was like a playlist. And I knew a lot of the songs, so I was happy about that. Anyway, that finished up. I got home at about 10:30 and went to sleep. I lifted Bodhi out of our bed because he likes to fall asleep in our bed. Picked up the big slug, 22 kilos. Just fucking take him into his bed, put him in his bed. Then 12:30 a.m., we woke up to what sounded like a seal was in the house. Bodhi was doing this cough. Poor kid was crying and could hardly breathe and was just gasping for air.
Oh, no. Did you call 000?
Had to call the ambulance. So the ambulance came 5 minutes later, heard the sirens coming and everything.
Oh, that's good.
So scary, dude. Fucking crazy
good that
scary.
That was so quick.
Yeah. And anyway, they got there and Bodhi had something called croup, which you hear of, if you're a parent, you've heard other people having croup, you're like, oh, okay.
What is it?
I don't know what that is. Like, I don't understand the severity of it. But, dude, croup is like a so asthma's low down in the chest, and it's like the that's where the restriction of the airways happens lower down when you have
it's
asthma.
Like
I have asthma.
Sort of thing?
Yeah, like low down.
Mm-hmm.
Croup affects the trachea, the upper throat.
Is croup something that is it like asthma where you have it for life and you have to...
No, it's a virus.
Okay.
So, it's a virus that restricts the airways up high. And that's why, like, and it affects the vocal cords, which does the seal noise. But it literally, when he calmed down...
I'm feeling, now that you hear about what I'm talking about, you don't think I've got croup, do you?
Croup happens to children.
Okay.
And there's something about when you're bigger, your airways are bigger, so you don't have the same effects as the kids get from it. The kids struggle to breathe, and you can have it as an adult, but in a different way. Anyway, Bodhi had this thing, and we ended up going to the hospital. We did a ride in the ambulance, but by the time like he got given the steroids, which helped his throat, helped it sort of release the tension in his throat, he was back to normal. Bizarre. No symptoms on Saturday at all. Next minute, waking up, gasping for air. The kid across the road had the same thing. Oh, ambulance. And so we heard that the kid across the road had it, and then it was ambulance. And we're like, is it that bad? Like,
so I don't understand. So if you hadn't called the ambulance, would it have been really mad?
Well, he settled down and stopped crying, which was half the problem, that he was crying and scared. And so he ended up relaxing, but he still could hardly breathe. And so the steroids fixed it within minutes.
Oh, my God. Did they give the steroids whilst he was at the ambulance? No.
So they came in and gave it to him.
In
our bedroom.
Oh, so he did, but he still had to go to hospital.
Yeah,
after that.
Which they ended up just saying exactly what the amazing Ambos did. Mm-hmm. Ambos are fucking great.
Yeah.
They're just so calm. Just, you know, George and I were talking about this earlier, just calm, collected in a moment of chaos. And they still, hi, how are you? You know, just, what is your name? Anyway, lucky, dude, lucky.
That's so full.
And so that was the end of the Saturday night that we had. Which it was all kind of a bit surreal, and I'm glad it wasn't any worse.
Yeah.
My brother's kids had it probably 3 weeks ago. And so who knows? Who knows? It's like a thing that can go around with kids.
Interesting.
And so, yeah.
Is he scared to sleep now, or is he okay?
He's fine.
Forgot about it already.
Well, he got a toy. The Ambos gave him a teddy.
Oh, that's nice.
This cute little teddy, and he calls it Monkey.
And so this broth has gone bad, by the way.
Yeah?
I think just the cold longer, broth. It almost I had some capsicum dip. Capsicum or capsicum?
Don't know, mate.
Anyway, had that dip on the weekend. It expired, but ate it anyway. But I think the spice elevated because it was a spicy dip.
Can I just say, no one's ever saying, I wish there was more capsicum in my stir fry.
Mm-hmm.
So capsicum overpowers, from a smell perspective, a stir fry like nothing else.
Gives my mum reflux.
Capsicum does?
Mm-hmm.
It's got the, it's probably like high acidity.
Yeah.
So that was Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck it, Thursday. Let's go back a couple of days.
Yeah. So we're on a shoot and we get a call from-
I got a text from GB. No, sorry, a Slack message.
Okay, sure.
This is how rattled the guy is. Mm-hmm. With what you'll understand later on. When he messages me on Slack individually and says, have you got a second?
Yeah.
Or something like that. Have you got a minute?
Have you guys got a minute to chat? I think it was guys or whatever. Yeah. Like, sort of like, hang on, why does GB, like, he's editing stuff.
Yeah.
We're on a shoot. And so it was just when we were on our lunch break, and moments earlier, Bitcoin had crashed or whatever, and I'd bought some Bitcoin, right?
Yes.
So, buy some Bitcoin, then 2 minutes later, you said, oh, GB wants to call, right? And so, GB calls, and you say, what do you mean? Like, you speak to him first or whatever. It's like, what? They're asking for Bitcoin. Oh, I'll put you on to Josh, right? And I say, what's going on, GB? And he says, one of our network-attached storage. So, the storage where where we edit all of our footage and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
There was a README file that when you opened it, it said, we've encrypted all of your files.
Mm.
If you want access to them, you have to pay 0.01 of a Bitcoin. And so, when GB tells me this, I'm like, oh, yeah. Nice one. Did TJ get you to call? He's like, no, this is serious. So he FaceTimes me and shows me. And so what had happened, I think it's called a zero-day attack. And the idea is that when there's a vulnerability in any system, there can be hackers that can exploit that, and they do it all at once. So they do a big mass hack on all the different devices at once. And so we had a device that was vulnerable, not to do with anything in regards to our security. Like, we've got all the security stuff dialed in, but there was basically a backdoor vulnerability. And so they were able to access not only ours, but thousands of other people's drives, encrypt the files. And so the way they did it was they started with smaller under 20 megabyte files. And so that was all that was encrypted. So certain types of files. So
which is a pain in the ass. If you're a photographer, you've got a lot of files under 20 megabytes.
Yeah.
If you're an editor, you have a lot of edit files, which are the, which, I mean, it's annoying if you lost footage because then you can't do anything with it. But if you've spent 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever hours editing a project and you can't access the project files and you don't have a backup, you're fudged.
Well, so it's a good lesson. So the what we have is a RAID. And so a RAID is basically a bunch of drives put together. The idea is you can lose, like one of those drives can fail and it's fine. You can pull it out, put a new one in, it builds it all up.
Which has happened to us.
Yes. But the thing is-
Recently too.
Yes.
Fuck.
The thing is that it's not a, that's not a backup. Having a RAID is not a backup. And so- We've been pretty good. Like, we're probably up there in regards to backing up. So, we back up all of our stuff. But when you're dealing with, you know, George could do 2 days worth of work. And if it's just, if we miss one little file here or there, it could be the difference of having to redo a bunch of work.
Yeah.
And so, what we ended up having to do was pay the ransom, which ended up being, what, $750 bucks or something?
$785. But the thing is, when you see a ransom, you hear about wankers getting ransoms. And we're not wankers.
As in, so you're referring to, so yeah, there's scammers that will say, hey, we've filmed, we've got footage of you wanking to porn. If you don't pay this,
we're going to release the photos.
Or
which
the video.
Has happened to you a bunch. Yeah, yeah. And you refuse to pay.
I just released the photos myself.
Which it is really common. But so that's a false, like a, it's a scam. Lie scam where it's like they haven't got anything, but they still try and hold you for ransom.
Yeah.
And there's some wankers that are pretty guilty, done some dark stuff. And then they send the money. They would be definitely sending money.
And so this
one we knew was real because you could see all of the files zipped and you try and open it and there's a password. You need the code. You need the passcode.
Yeah.
Which is some fucking long, crazy letters and numbers.
And so, we spoke to a few IT people and they all said the
you're
same
fucked.
Thing. It's like, okay, well, you know, we have a backup of 99% of stuff, but that 1% was worth more to us than what the ransom was.
Yeah, yeah. Because the footage we always back up multiple times, which doesn't change. But there's the project file is the thing that changes every time you open it and do something to it.
The hard thing is that what it also shows is, say, from a syncing perspective, if we were to just have syncing turned on, you can risk syncing malware from the drive to another drive. And so, from a backup perspective, there's a whole nother level now where it's like, okay, we've got to be careful of how we're backing things up to try and avoid that sort of thing.
GB, soon as he realized it's happened and we'd got off the phone, we were still on the shoot and waiting to come back. And at that moment, it's you and I just, I mean, I don't know what you were thinking, but we're just, it's like, you haven't accepted the depth of the problem because you don't know what the extent is. And so, by the time we get back, we're like assessing the damage.
Yeah.
And you'd found out that some people had paid and then got the files back.
Yeah. So, there was a huge forum post. And since then, there's been a bunch of, if you look online, one of Apple's suppliers, we don't know if it was specifically the same attack, but it seems very similar. In the last sort of 48 hours, an Apple supplier has been hacked. The hackers are asking for $55 million and they've started leaking Apple details. So, new releases, so the MacBook Pro X, all of this sort of thing has started to be leaked and Apple or the supplier has to pay the $55 million for them to stop.
Which you think... Who's got 55 million? This is the thing. It's like, what's the cap to the ransom? So, most people that have been, if you're just a young punter who has the same device as us and gets held for a ransom, I mean, this is where we were fairly optimistic for being held at ransom. Optimistic in that it's, you know, thinking fuck, it could be more money.
Yeah.
It's amazing that we've all got crypto wallets now,
mm-hmm.
since we're all investing in crypto.
Mm-hmm.
The people that wouldn't know how to use Bitcoin or buy Bitcoin or where the hell to get it from, it takes days to verify your account.
Mm-hmm.
It's tricky
to
do it. You can easily fuck it up,
mm-hmm.
but we were able to.
Yeah. Not fuck it up.
Not fuck it up.
Yeah.
Almost, but even with there's a few technical things that you had to work out.
There's a few things where it's like you had to download a specific piece of software. You had to use a certain browser to do all this sort of thing. By the time it was all done, we were out of pocket, $1,600 or whatever, $1,500, because we had to buy another hard drive.
We had to pay for the wanking photos for you as well.
We just did a big sort of a bulk payment. But, and so... The lesson is when you have these things happen, all of a sudden everything gets into perspective and you say, okay, well, you're willing to pay more for things, right? So it's like, think about when bushfires happen or that type of thing. All of a sudden people have a heightened awareness to, is our house fire safe? Have we got all the protocols and everything in line? And I think a similar thing with this is it's like, hopefully you don't have to have your house burned down before you think about fire safety.
I know.
So, use the examples around. So, I feel like in some ways what's happened is we've had a fire in the kitchen and it's been contained, but then you can easily see, oh, you know what? If it went outside the kitchen, if it went here, here and here, we weren't set up for that. So, it's almost like for us, it's a inexpensive lesson. Because our files are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, really.
Yeah.
But when you think about, you don't want to say.
No, it's crazy. It's crazy when you think about it like that. But yeah, I mean, there was that guy that you sent me a video to, a guy that same thing happened to him. I just wish we had footage of GB in the office realizing what had happened, because this guy had a security camera filming him just losing his mind. Yeah. Running over to his hard drive, pulling it out of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just wish we had that footage of George, because it would have been great.
Yeah.
But there's a school of thought of don't pay your ransom. Mm-hmm. Like, you sent me a link to lodge the complaint with the cybersecurity of Australia, which it's almost like too much work to do it.
Mm.
I can't be bothered. Mm. But on there it says... from our experience, paying the ransom, you probably won't get back what you're wanting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and don't expect to get any money back.
Yeah.
You can never recover the cash.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if you're trying to get out of paying some kind of ransom, like this is where you got to weigh it up. We think it's cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm great. We got a good bargain off a ransom person.
The most annoying thing about it is now dealing with the file. So, we're having to go through every folder structure, make sure that it's okay. But the thing is, what we will get out of it is, I was thinking about it. I was like, so 3 or 4 months ago, start of the year, I was saying to you about ransomware and saying this is an issue that we have to worry about. The thing was, even me saying it, who has read up on it and knows about it, it doesn't feel real. Like, there's a part of me which, when I'm saying it, I'm being like hyperbolic, or I'm being like overly sensitive to the issue. But what I'm grateful for is that everyone had the experience within the team. So it's almost like
it was no one's fault.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's definitely things I could have done, I think, in regards to mitigate. But the thing is that it's like, it's sort of like a whack-a-mole thing. So, for instance, like, look at our phones. There's all these things that there are potentials of there's levels of vulnerabilities in different systems.
Yeah.
And so, you're trying to work out, okay, what is the, what to worry about, what not to worry about.
And you can be over-worry. Like, you can, so, it's like security cameras. You start watching them. You're obsessed about the security. A lot of people don't have security breaches, but then a lot of people get scammed, or a lot of people have their identity stolen, whether it's happened to you. Like, there's so many people in the world that there's always a chance of things happening, but it's low. Mm. People who have their identity stolen, it's a fucking nightmare. like credit cards taken out without them, like their credit score being ruined. It's a real thing, dude. It's so scary. And you don't this is the thing. It's different. You mentioned, you use the analogy of your house burning down.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about cyber security shit, you don't see flames.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see, you don't smell smoke.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucked.
Yeah.
You don't, it's, how do you understand, how does someone understand mm-hmm. someone getting into their hard drive?
Yeah.
And my mum, first thing, can, you know, they, she's even saying, can they get the crypto stuff? Like,
yeah, can they get in the bank? Yeah, yeah.
Can they get the bank stuff? Yeah, yeah. Like,
and this is, and the thing is that if you look at cyber warfare in general, and you look at even what happened in the US, where it's like they were all worried about the election and then they went after all these other sort of government agencies, this is only going to happen more and more. It's going to affect private businesses, small mm. businesses like us more and more.
Yeah.
If you look at what, say, the Israelis have done around Iran and with Iran sort of trying to build nuclear stuff, like they have blown shit up just purely by moving bits around in a computer system.
Yeah.
So if you think about electricity, if you think about sort of just everyday items. So, for instance, think about smart devices. Think about all the different smart devices that we have.
Mm.
Imagine what would it mean if all of a sudden all of our smart bulbs were turned off. If someone was able to turn off all the bulbs. So, potentially, it might not be a massive issue, but if it was connected with turning off bulbs, turning on security cameras, like we, everything now is smart, but that's smart. Like we have a, thanks to Trev Long, we have a smart aircon heater thermo type thing, right? What could be fucked up? What could happen? Oh, so how about this? So McDonald's. McDonald's ice cream machines. There's a company that looks after all of their machines.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know if you've realized, but there is a huge amount of McDonald's that are having problems with ice cream machines. Did you know about this? So if you go to
I've been to one before and they don't have soft serve. Fucking pissed off.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, you're embarrassed enough to be getting it.
Yeah.
you're trying to get a cheeky fucking McFlurry.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't get one.
So, when you become a franchisee of McDonald's, you get a list of this is where you've got to buy all of your supplies from. This is where you get your chips from. This is where you get your burger patties from. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll have a couple of options. You can go to this pickle place or this pickle place.
Well, it's to keep consistency in that respect, yeah.
When it comes to the soft serve ice cream machines, there is... Oh, we've got a box. That's exciting. Yeah, yeah, what is it? Jess has just posted.
Oh, yeah. I'll open this.
This is great. Now...
Yeah, I'll open it now. Okay, while great. You're telling the story.
So McDonald's, there's only one soft serve machine that you can get. Now, the thing, this soft serve machine is used by all of the other big fast food companies around the world.
Hungry Jack's?
Yeah.
Really?
I think so. But the thing is, the specific ice cream machine from the company the McDonald's uses is a specific McDonald's one. It was built for McDonald's.
Mm.
And the thing is that, so they have to clean the ice cream machines every single day because they're dealing with like dairy and all that sort of thing. So they bring it up to a temperature and then they bring it back down every single day. You right there?
Sorry, man.
I'm unboxing. So do you want to do this first? We'll do this first and we'll come back to the McDonald's. What is this?
Could take me a while. I know exactly what it is, but I want to show you first.
Okay, great. Right, he's got a box. It's like a square box.
I loved it.
It's got a lot of... Okay.
A lot of effort here.
You've really ruined it, the box.
Oh, okay. Another box in a box.
Okay.
Bubble wrap. Oh, no, this looks tricky.
Do you need...
I need keys.
Yeah, you I don't keys? Have keys, no.
No, no. But that's why I've been ripping. Oh, no, got it. Here we go.
Here we go.
Sorry. Sorry.
I feel like I know what it could be. It's a random guess. Let's have a look. Yes, it is a mug from Yas, is it? Yeah, yeah. Episode 1000. She got that made from where? Office Works?
Not sure, but it's got our podcast artwork on it.
That's great.
Great, great mug. Episode, we're in the 1000s now. Thanks, Yas.
How's the timing on that? So anyway, on the, so on heat the ice up. Cream thing. Heat it up, bring it back down. That's how they make sure that it's
clean. All the
clean. How long do you think that takes?
You'd think like a flush of a system, no more than 5 minutes.
4 hours it takes, right? So it takes 4 hours, but here's the thing. When you run the machine, after the 4 hours, half the time, you'll get a message saying didn't work or not fully cleaned, and it will give an error message. The error messages, impossible to understand. If you go into the manual that's given to all McDonald's restaurants, it says
pay 0.1 Bitcoin.
It's like, this is the old school version of that. It is
old school ransom.
Contact the service person, right? Jeez. And so the go-to solution with any problem with the ice cream machine is to call the service person, which is like $150 an hour. And so there's these representatives all around the world who know the machine. But what they've done is basically the company that that designed and sort of manufactures that ice cream machine, 25% of their revenue is from repairs.
Wow.
It's a lot. And so all of a sudden, it's in their best interest to keep all of this information closed. So they don't give easy information from a user interface perspective on how to fix things. So it could be as simple as they've put too much ice cream liquid into the drum, and if you do that, it will give an error. But you have to call the service person every single time to work out if that's the issue.
It's crazy.
And so a startup actually was created around a little device that you could put that McDonald's restaurants could put at the back of their machines, and it would give more relevant information. And it even got endorsed by someone at McDonald's. Said, this is a great product. This is helping a bunch of restaurants. A week later, McDonald's comes out and says, you cannot use that device on your machine.
Dude, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's like the ransom of the Apple supplier. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder if Apple will come to the party and
they'll be pissed off. Apple would be.
Well, because it's like if they've just been attacked by very. But the thing is, these hackers are fucking clever. Mm-hmm. Like, people say don't pay the ransom because you're perpetuating the problem. It's also these people are fucking highly skilled and have been thinking about fucking people over in this specific way for months and months, and you need the files.
But it's also the weakest link thing, right? So it's if you think about all of your suppliers or clients, think about the emails that are sent. I've noticed that a lot of clients nowadays will have external embedded into every subject line.
So it's like in brackets, external.
Yeah, so they know that if they're sending something out, because spoofing of emails, spoofing of phone numbers.
Changing invoices. Mm-hmm. This is a classic one. You get an invoice from a customer. This is the Tesla hack that happened. These hackers got the Tesla invoice and changed the invoice details to their own. So someone, BSB and account number shares fucking 10 grand, something crazy like that. That happens heaps.
Yeah.
Heaps though. The other kind of scary stuff I was listening to yesterday, viruses. So there's a four and a half hour episode on Sam Harris's podcast about synthetic pandemics or synthetic viruses. So it's like man-made as a form of, you know, terrorism or whatever it be, to attack people. But in that, there is, so scientists can recreate viruses to almost exactly what they were, formed naturally. They can work out how to do it by numbers. Mm-hmm. And so the escape of a virus out of a lab, which has happened in the most secure labs of the world, there's like tiers of security. And so like there was one reference of a tier 3 lab, which is quite pretty secure, got out. Tier 4, even more secure, got out. So it's human error. Mm-hmm. And also these viruses can just escape. But the virus can escape without the virus even fucking escaping. This is the craziest thing. Someone could hack their hard drives, take the synthetic version, all the numbers and whatever information to recreate it. So it is so unsafe. Mm-hmm. There's no, this is, you know, scientists spending their time recreating these things is like, in one hand, you can't not do it because if other people who are crazy who do it and beat you to it, that's the problem.
Well, this is
you
what happened.
You can't just say, I can't, no, we're never going to do that because it's too dangerous. Some arsehole will.
Well, this is like the, that virus, the virus, I'm trying to think of what it was called. The Israeli one that was targeting Iran.
A computer virus, not a...
Yeah, but it ended up... I think it was the one that...
President...
give me a second. No, it was a while ago.
Yeah, the Israelis created also one that got into someone's... Who was the phone?
So there was...
Amazon.
Yeah. Bezos. That was with the...
John Bezos. No, but his phone, that was the... So, the Israelis created that technology that can hack into mm-hmm. iPhones, sold it. They sell it to third parties.
Yeah. So, Stuxnet. Do you remember hearing about Stuxnet?
Stuxnet, no.
Stuxnet, this is on their Wikipedia. Stuxnet is a malicious computer worm first uncovered in 2010 and thought to have been in development since at least 2005.
Wow.
Stuxnet targets supervisory control and data acquisition systems and is believed to be responsible for causing substantial damage to the nuclear program of Iran. Although neither country has openly admitted to responsibility, the worm is widely understood to be a cyber weapon built jointly by United States and Israel in a collaborative effort known as Olympic Games. And so, I believe that Stuxnet, so it was...
It was
going after the Iranian, what's it called?
President.
Nuclear program. But I think it actually ended up on consumer devices as well. So, this is the thing that it can go well and truly beyond that.
The thing about nuclear, a lot of that stuff is requires real estate, requires space to create. So, mm-hmm. there's another level of people being able to see from the satellites that people are, there's movement and activity. The virus thing can be done by Gronk in a shed
mm-hmm.
where no one knows they're there if they're smart enough or, if, you know.
Isn't it like it is the there's a bunch of, just having a look at the affected countries, Iran, Indonesia, India, Azerbaijan, United States, Pakistan. Iran was reported to have beefed up its cyber war abilities following the Stuxnet attack and has been suspected of retaliatory attacks against US banks. This is like the craziness of this whole thing, right? Like it's private citizens are now involved in this stuff. Like this is, it's, you know, if you want to hurt an economy, if you want to hurt even the culture, the perspective, the morale of a country, you could do it quietly through government and big organizations, or you can do it where it hurts the most,
in
small business.
Well, I think it's, you have a attack like that was on us and it makes you think about all the possibilities, which you just don't think about. It's ignorance. But it
Channel
is,
9.
Oh, yeah, they went under for a day. for a show.
They went down, yeah.
Which was a Ben Fordham was telling us about the hack.
Mm-hmm.
It's until it happens to you, that's when you start really considering.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but it's probably a pretty dark existence if you're just always thinking about these things and nothing's ever happened to you, because then you're waiting for them to happen. It's the security camera thing. You're watching, waiting for something to happen. You're like, oh, I'm feeling like something's about to happen because I'm looking.
Yeah.
And then something happens. But then things can happen anyway. If you aren't.
But what about being able to control? So, think about cars that you could stop. You know, like you can stop a car, like, you know, certain cars that you'll be able to.
Jason Bourne, dude.
Is that what happened?
It's always in the movies, the CIA have some kind of fucking, you know, program or some kind of black ops operation where they've got higher security and they can control cars and turn them off or slam brakes on. Like, it all seems crazy far-fetched because you just, you know, you're driving your little Hyundai to work and you're thinking, who cares about me?
What about if rather than it being what happened last year with, you know, being locked inside and all that sort of thing, what if it was like everyone turn off your phones now?
Everyone?
The government said, okay, guys, the virus is bad. the only way that we can stop this is turn off your phones.
Yeah, it'd be horrible.
What about the
You'd be in trouble, dude. You've relapsed.
What about Instagram?
Yeah.
I've got to watch my reels. but think about it. So even in Cuba, there were a bunch of diplomats from other countries that ended up getting very, very sick, permanent damage due to audio frequencies that they couldn't even hear. And they were just being targeted. So imagine, like, you're like, oh, my head fucking feels funny. There are waves, I don't completely understand it, but fucking waves that you can't hear, audio waves.
Dude, I almost bought one the other day, plug it into a wall. It's got a high frequency noise and it fucking ruins insects. They don't want to come near your property.
It pisses you off as well.
Don't
they do that for kids as well? Like, if you want to keep kids away?
I've been on a property and there was one plugged in, but I could still hear it just ever so slightly. Yeah. But yeah, there's frequencies that we can't pick up.
Mm-hmm.
Think about dolphins.
Well, that was a ringtone for a while, I remember. It was sort of, if you wanted to use your phone at school, you could use the ringtone that the teachers couldn't hear.
Because old chunts can't pick it up.
Over 25 years old or whatever, and you can't hear it, which is funny.
That is. It's a can be a scary world.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of great things. But, yeah, I mean, a few scary things have happened to us in the last week.
I would love to have a cyber expert on the show. I actually saw Kevin Mitnick, first guy to ever be put in jail for hacking.
Really?
He wrote the book what's it called? The Art of Deception. Like an awesome, awesome book talking about social engineering. Anyway, he started sort of Mitnick Industries or something. It's all about helping for this sort of thing, you know.
Preventing he's a white hat hacker now.
Exactly.
Yeah, great.
But I saw he was on like Sunrise or Channel 9, like Today Show or something just a couple of weeks ago in Sydney. He's in Sydney.
Really?
So it would be great to
American
be able to
dude?
Get yeah. It'd be great to get him on the podcast
That'd
to talk
great.
About hacking and the social engineering stuff's really interesting because obviously you think about, you know, the all of the stuff that, you know, that we have, but there's other weird things
social
too.
Engineering in that
being able to call you up and saying, "Hey, you know, so knowing information about you." So for instance, so now people know that you had to go to the went in the ambulance. If someone called you and said they were from Ambulance Victoria, just had wanted to get some more information from Saturday night, said, hey, it's Simone here from Ambulance Victoria. I believe that we paid you a visit on Saturday, and said, yeah, we actually just noticed that your account had just your membership was about to lapse, or that you didn't actually have Bodhi covered.
Yeah.
The bill is going to be this, but if you're able to pay in the next sort of 48 hours, we can do that.
That happens, man.
And so you would, but it's like.
I would not pay that because I have, admin, I pay on time, I've got my account.
But there'd be so many other versions of that, right?
It's a good one. It's a good one. To be honest, I fucking didn't give any detail. I never showed a card. Mm-hmm. The healthcare system, public healthcare system, so fortunate for.
Mm-hmm.
Ambulance comes, you get in it, you go to the hospital. I didn't have to show anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then you leave. It's phenomenal.
That's weird. So they didn't even get it.
If someone does call, I will pay.
They didn't even know that if
you had. We told them Bodhi's name, but not Medicare number, like nothing. It's all there.
So I remember when I was at the fire brigade and I was just in the media department, wasn't the firefighter.
Yeah.
But
you did the calendar, the tops off.
Fireys
calendar.
Yeah. Shot it. the thing with that is I remember during, there's obviously a lot of sort of industrial relations drama and stuff with unions and executives and all that sort of thing. And I remember there was a certain time where, I don't know if this is happening with the ambulance sort of, you know, Ambulance Victoria nowadays, but I remember with the MFB, one of the things they were doing, what firefighters were doing, were they were not taking details of people who hadn't been covered or whatever. Like, so for instance, so that's right. The if you get a false alarm, you would have to pay, you know, a few grand, Whereas I remember they were during this time they weren't, you know, finding anyone.
Mm.
Which is interesting.
Get your ambulance cover. Get your ambulance cover.
Yes.
Because you never know, a hot snitchel will get you.
That's a good one. It's the Daily Talk Show. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com if you want to send us an email. Otherwise, enjoy the rest of your Monday and we'll see you tomorrow, guys.
See you guys.